Hello, I'm Mike Matthews, the host of the longest-running self-produced daily podcast on planet Earth by a guy named Mike in the land of Maritopica. It is Mike's Daily Podcast, episode 3181, broadcasting from Cafe. Anyway, we're about to go into it. Okay, so I didn't get to this. I wanted to mention that we didn't do a show on Monday because of Indigenous Peoples Day. We decided to take the day off. So, okay. Just wanted to, if you were wondering why we weren't around on Monday. I didn't mention yet Robert Redford. I remember him from, what was the movie I really enjoyed him in? Was it Legal Eagles? Nobody mentioned Legal Eagles. Ooh, I'm going to give you, my love touch. Rod Stewart, big hit for him that year when that movie came out. Well, his, of course, we all know him from The Natural and what was it? Captain America, the Winter Soldier. I was going to say the Ice Soldier. Wasn't he in that one? Robert Redford's Sundance Festival changed Hollywood forever. Oscar-winning actor, director, visionary. He was behind the Sundance Film Festival. He passed away about a month ago now, and it was, he was 89 years old. Oh, that's right. He was also in that one of Scarlett Johansson's first movies. And then they starred together in that Marvel movie, in the Captain America Winter Soldier movie. I forgot about that. But they were both in The Horse Whisperer together, and she was really young, and she, like, in the movie, she loses a leg. It's very tragic. Horses. So wonderful. But of course, he's also well known for Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, The Sting, and of course, All the President's Men. This Sundance Film Festival, though, was, in one way, it was named after Sundance Film Festival because that movie, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, starring with Paul Newman, that's what launched his career. They were going to go with someone else. They ended up picking Robert Redford. I guess maybe the actor fell out or, you know, didn't want to be in the movie for some reason, play second fiddle to Robert Redford. But the chemistry between, or Paul Newman, Robert Redford and Paul Newman, their relationship, it was just, it proved gold on the movie screen in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. So then they made The Sting, which was also a big movie, had that great soundtrack. Marvin Hamlisch did the music to it. It was the Sundance Festival, though, named after Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, founded in the early 80s, and it began as a modest platform, a modest one for American independent filmmakers, showcasing low-budget, message-driven stories that were often ignored by major studios, sort of the bottom of the charts. And we will talk about on this podcast today about how some stuff that's really, really good is murky. It's down in the murky bottom depths area. It's not up at the top. They always say cream rises to the top. No, sometimes, most of the time, it seems to be the scum. But now, this is the largest film festival in the U.S. He launched such famous directors as Quentin Tarantino, Steven Soderbergh, who did Sex, Lies, and Videotape. Also, the Coen brothers, who have done a ton of movies. Fargo, Blood Simple, one of my favorites, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? We also lost an amazing actress, Diane Keaton. She passed away. She was only 79. That shocked me. But one of my favorite movies she did, aside from all the Woody Allen stuff, she did this movie. Oh, and you know she was on the Hair soundtrack. If you ever found the Hair record, to the musical Hair, my mom had that record and would play it over and over again. I think it was a double album, so I used to hear it a lot growing up. But she's on that soundtrack. If you look at the credits, her name is there. I always thought that was fascinating. And one of my favorites she did was The Family Stone, where she was, it was a movie where she plays the matriarch of this family. A bunch of famous actors are her children. There's Rachel McAdams. There's Rupert Murdoch, and then Luke Wilson, and then there's the what's her face shows up, the Sarah Jessica Parker. She's dating Rupert, in the movie, and then ends up falling for Luke. And, oh, there's Claire Danes in there too. Okay, so she is dying in the movie, Diane Keaton. She's got some kind of cancer, and it's in remission, but they know time. Oh, Craig T. Nelson plays her husband, and it's a very sad but very funny movie that takes place around Christmas. And the critics hated the movie, by the way. So if you watch it, just realize that it may not be everyone's cup of tea, but she was fantastic in it. Anyway, sad to see her go. So tragic to hear about that the other day. Okay, you know what? We're going to turn things around, maybe improve the mood around here and cheer you up a little bit by opening the door and letting you into Cafe Anyway. Let's go. Cafe Anyway. Welcome to Cafe Anyway.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
Somewhere in Podcaster Valley, the last place on earth in the land of Maritopica. It is episode 3181.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
3181. It's Mike Matthews. Broadcasting from Cafe Anyway, somewhere in Podcastro Valley, the last place on earth, land of Maritopica. Hey, here's my cat, Rocky. If you see the video, he is on the screen. But don't you know, you gotta go to mikesdailypodcast.com to see the video.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
There's a link to my Twitch account, twitch.tv/mikepodcast. So,
Mike's
Rocky's on my lap
daily
for the moment.
Podcast.
And we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah.
This show does not produce content. We're a show. We're not content. We're a show. So we show you things. We do things. We entertain you at a restaurant called Cafe Anyway. And we educate you. We learn from you. You learn from us, that kind of thing. One of the things I didn't know about was the Kodak Chamera keychain. Is it called a Chamera? A miniature digital camera sold out in a day. The digital cameras take both photos and videos and are compatible with a micro SD card. Now, I know I got an SD card in one of my phones. I don't know if that technology is going to be with us much longer. It seems like they're always improving and changing and whatnot, but there's some SD cards that have been around forever that I got a bunch of stuff on from like 10 years ago and more. But according to the folks over at Digital Camera World, the Kodak Chamera mixes three trends: the retro craze, this resurgence of compact cameras, and the blind box. The trend trifecta. It proved successful because it sold out in one day. The company has just reopened orders for a second round. This was, when did that story?
Here's today's podcast picture.
Oh, about 2 weeks ago-ish. Podcast picture, speaking of pictures, is of the beautiful Podcastro Valley and some very scary looking places. I love when people do up their front lawns, their front yards, and makes them all and scary and ow. And Rocky the cat's looking at me like, what are you doing? But you're not quite a black cat. You don't quite fit in on Halloween. Sorry, Rocky. But we'll dye you black and you'll be fine. Just kidding. We won't do. Late great Basil the Boxer participated in Halloween. Oh, but it's a Kodak Chamera is what it is. A tiny camera.
Life grand.
Ain't that grand?
Grand.
And this grand, they're shipping, I guess, a second round at the end of this month. But it's a Chamera. It's a keychain. And it takes pictures. It uses a 1.6 megapixel, 1/4 inch sensor to take snapshots, if that makes any sense. The low resolution camera, like the retro design on the outside, is a nod to nostalgic snapshots, taking lo-fi snapshots. Now, I'm thinking that the young people, it would be their grandparents that used those cameras. I got a couple of those just sitting around that I had acquired from my dad and my mom and myself, and I still have held on to the old ones that I had, so they're just kind of laying around here at Cafe anyway, and fun to look at. I don't use them anymore. I don't know if I where would I even get the film? Plus, it's just so annoying. As cool as they were annoying. Because you would take all these pictures, you had no idea how they looked. You were looking through the viewfinder, taking the picture, hoping it was going to be a good one, because what you're pointing at looked cool, or was a bunch of people that you wanted to take a picture of. And of course, thank goodness we did, because a lot of folks that are long gone, the only memory we have, really, to reaffirm our memories is those news pictures.
Random.
But in this news random, it's sold in a blind box. But what that is that fans don't know what's in the box. Thus, it's blind. So they are going to get, they don't get to pick the color. They get one of seven designs that they find. I guess they don't get to pick the design. So it's what's in the box is what you get. Isn't that like a grab bag? The grab bag had, you didn't know what you were going to get. Like a box of chocolates. That includes six standard designs, as well as a secret seventh design that uses a transparent case to reveal the camera's tech inside. Ooh. It's kind of like you're looking inside a... Wasn't there a... It was called the Invisible Man, but he wasn't invisible. Just his skin was gone. So you saw the gruesome, icky... but, I mean, it was good if you were learning about anatomy and figuring out, oh, that's where the lungs are. Oh, that's where the intestines...
Like scavenger hunt.
And what I'm trying to find is the absolute appeal to this would be that it looks cool. You get to see all the gizmos and gadgets inside and all the tech. The tiny digital camera uses a design inspired by the 1987. So we're going back not too far. I guess I did use quite a few of these. That's right. I took a trip to Germany in 86. I'd just gotten out of high school. And I'm sure I had one of these type cameras with me, possibly. Although this is an 87 Kodak Fling disposable camera is the model that it is using. The original pre-order for the tiny camera, which was expected to begin on October 6th, sold out in less than a day. As we go outside a cafe anyway, where we bring you Mike's Daily Podcast somewhere in Podcaster Valley.
For your entertainment, the one, the only, Mike Matthews.
That's who I am, Mike. Oh, hey, we got two viewers on the video. This is awesome so far. Okay, then another fascinating thing I'm finding is I refuse to do an actual video to put up on YouTube. You can forget that. I just do a bit of the audio. Mike's Daily Podcast audio goes up with the podcast picture as the static thing you're looking at while you're listening to the show. But the whole point isn't to just stare at the podcast picture the whole time. It's to just listen. You do whatever you want. Do what you want. Walk around, cook something, maybe make a nice spaghetti sauce, maybe make waffles. I don't know. But the picture remains the same, the podcast picture. But I've been doing lately these little YouTube shorts that feature the podcast players, the Cafe Anyway.
The mic tip.
My tip to you is to check out the Cafe Anyway characters. They usually show up towards the end of the show. And I take a little minute of that and make that the short for the YouTube. Well, one of them got more views than any of anything I ever posted on YouTube. It got more views or listens, I guess would be the proper way to put it. So that's just the way to go, I guess, is the shorts. Shorts. We wear short shorts. Actually, guys, short shorts. Unless you're like in Germany or France or Italy. Hey, I'm wearing the short shorts. It's a cool. That's what we do. Or you're back in the 80s, like 1986 or 87 there. We definitely wore some short shorts, us guys, when we were on the cross-country team. Probably a little too short. I'm glad that trend has gone. But back to shorts. They're big on YouTube.
Wow, shuts wow.
What I'm saying, wow, shuts wow. That's what my mom would say. Wow, she would probably freak out seeing that I have a cat on my lap. Although at one point she did like cats, but she turned very anti-cat towards the end of her life. It was sad. But yes, Rocky, I'm sorry you never met your grandmother. which is probably a good thing. She was a nice lady, but not the biggest fan of cats. So, all right, that's a fascinating story about this retro culture type thing. Here's a more up-to-date culture type thing. The Tesla vehicles, the NHTSA, is investigating reports of particularly the 2021 Model Y trapping riders due to the electronic door handle failure. Perhaps you heard about this. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, the NHTSA, has launched a preliminary investigation into approximately 1,704.
The Newsbleed section.
As we see here in the Newsbleed section, a little over 174,000 Tesla Model Y vehicles from the year 2021. This investigation is prompted by 9 reports from owners indicating that the electronic door handles failed to operate, leaving parents unable to access their children in the back seat. In some cases, parents had to break windows to get to their kids. Yikes. So Bloomberg reported several instances of Tesla riders getting hurt or dying from fire-related injuries after crashes that allegedly rendered the electronic doors useless from both sides. Another thing having to do with technology that doesn't seem to be temporary, it seems to be here for, I don't know if it's here for good, but it's definitely here, and that is ChatGPT. Remember when we would just say, hey, go ahead and Google that. I'll Google that. Or Google that. You can Google that if you want more info. Now people are...
The Micropedia Insanica.
As I look in my Micropedia Insanica, maybe you can Micropedia Insanica that. I don't know if you can verb that. The chat. Can you verb ChatGPT? You just ChatGPT that. A couple extra syllables, but whatever. I'm sure the youngins will come up with some other way to say that. Did you know that ChatGPT launched just 3 years ago in 2022? Created by OpenAI. OpenAI also is involved with Copilot, which if you use any Microsoft-type products, they push that at you. But OpenAI estimated that up to 80% of its users were male back in 2022. That has changed. Women are now by far in the majority using ChatGPT, more than men. So it's fascinating when that happens, because at first it's all like a guy thing, like a geeky guy thing. Like, hey, whoa, did you hear about this thing?
Matthew's News.
Did you check out the Matthews News and find out about ChatGPT? Oh, Rocky the Cat's on the move. He's on the move. He's staring into the camera, hypnotizing the one viewer that we have because we lost the other viewer, and now he's gone. Back to fascinating tech-type news. Waymo. I have not been in a Waymo yet. I've heard so many fascinating things. People say, oh, you get in. You know, it's a little scary at first, but... maybe the Waymo will be playing you some interesting, distracting audio of some sort that will... maybe it'll be playing Mike's Daily Podcast. That'll really distract you, and you'll forget that you're driving in a car with no driver. But technically, there is a driver. There's a computer in there. The very high-tech, beyond any of us could have ever dreamed just a few years ago. But its robo-taxi expansion will get a lift in Nashville next year, particularly from... Lyft with a Y, L-Y-F-T. Waymo is heading in a new direction.
That's a nightmare of a show.
Oh, that's not necessary, but thank you. I think that lady turned into, she's an actress that got big on some sort of horror TV show. I'm not sure, I forget what her name is, some Italian name. Hey, short shorts. But it's we're trying, okay? Don't have to make that kind of exact... critique of this show in that sort of way, specific way. But Waymo is heading in a new direction by teaming up with Lyft instead of its recent ride-hailing partner, Uber. And they're doing this in Atlanta and in Austin, the two cities that start with an A. 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 Waymo is far ahead of the competition in the U.S., having logged over 10 million paid trips. I guess they're way ahead of, what's the thing that Tesla has, whatever they call their thing. And there was
First
that
of all,
thing called
I just
Cruise.
Wanna just thank everyone for joining us here on this show. This is great.
Yeah, it's been great having you here join us on the show and all that. The GM had a thing called Cruise. Look who's here. Outside a cafe, anyway, somewhere in Podcaster Valley, the last place on earth in the land of Maritopica, broadcasting from outside a cafe, anyway, right now. Look, is here.
Hello, Mike Matthews. It's Kelly Schuhart, gift shop supervisor. We have a lot of cool things in the gift shop, Mike Matthews. We even have some snow globes.
Shelly Schuhart and her exploding snow globes. What I'm really curious about, Shelly, is if you have in your gift shop, if you have any content.
Mike Matthews, we always have content.
And then I don't mind being called a creative.
Wine. Well, I like
the whiny white man wine list.
I mean, if I may whine just a moment. I guess I am white. And I would say that the whole idea of being a creative is very also inspecific. What I'm saying is, Shelly, those exploding snow globes, we got to talk about that because it's already caused a little bit of a alteration to our front lawn outside a cafe anyway.
Okay, Mike Matthews, are you done with your rant?
It's completely over with. Thank you. Look who else is here.
Oh, Mike, this is Floyd the Floor Man.
And this is John Deere the Engineer, Mike. Yes, I think what Shelly is saying is that you go into that same topic all the time about the differences between podcasts and content.
What's the cliche of the week?
So you're saying it's a cliche?
What's the cliche of the week?
I'm basically saying, yeah, it's a cliche, Mike.
What's the cliche of the week?
But aren't you afraid? Aren't you turned off by lazy language?
What's the cliche of the week?
Well, yeah, that's what makes it a cliche. So you're saying everything is a cliche, Mike Matthews?
Yes, everything's a cliche because everyone is using lazy language and we just don't, we're not creative. Oh, I just used that word again. Okay. Well, what I'm hoping for is something more inspiring to wrap up the end of the podcast, and that is this. People, oh, yeah, that was the one thing. If you want to stay away from lazy language, don't watch reality TV shows. There is this one lady I heard about who creates kitchens that are, I don't even know. I was listening to a podcast, thus like a little pre-recorded radio show, although they didn't call it a pre-recorded radio show. They called it a podcast. But they said, oh, yeah, our special guest today, she makes little kitchens. And she's got millions and millions and millions of subscribers. And they love watching her make these little kitchens, which she doesn't even make. She gets them from a company somewhere in India. So I don't know what that is. To me, that's all suspect. But that is exactly what seems to drive the views, what gets the people's eyeballs. Oh, but they were telling, I did listen to a little of the interview. And this lady who does these little kitchens say, people really like my voice. They want me to do an audiobook or maybe even do a podcast. And I thought, oh, she actually used the word podcast in the right form. Oh, and a study just came out today about how kids that used, I guess it must have been, what do they call it? A long spanning study found that the kids that were using social media several years ago are way dumb. Now they're not so good doing good with the grades. The social media, really, the amount of social media they used, it has that kind of relationship with how bad their grades are going to be, which is interesting because you would think, oh, maybe they would get some helpful information like this, that most U.S. consumers are still sticking closely to their budgets. Top earners are spending, though. They're spending a lot of money and making up the difference with all the people that are sticking close to their budgets. Americans in the top 10% income bracket made up nearly half of total consumer spending during the time period between June and September of this year. That number is up from the previous quarter by a couple percentage points, highlighting the growing divide between high income earners and middle low income earners in the country. Americans are increasingly falling behind on car loans and credit card payments. Meanwhile, high earners are benefiting from record high stock prices and soaring home prices. While consumer spending might appear strong, it's actually balancing on one leg. It's because of the people with all the money that are the top 10%. They're spending 50% of all the buying and all the spending, if that makes any sense. Okay, it's time for the bottom of the charts. We're going to go right down to the very bottom and look at a bottom of the charts type song.
Oh my gosh!
The bottom of the charts.
Pretty good song that never made it on the radio because people didn't think they were worth it. But you know what? They come back up and people start playing them. And it's like, where'd that come from?
Well, I would say a song that was not a huge hit, a one that gets played constantly all the time anymore, came from this album right here that I'm holding in my beautiful yet somewhat wrinkled hands, and that would be the album Diva by Annie Lennox. She had a song called Legend in My Living Room, a song about trying to make it in this world, about trying to become a star, which she is very much a star. She's a legend. But about how it all starts from with you in your soul wanting to do something, wanting to accomplish something big. So that would be cut number 4 on the Diva album. Everyone remembers the song Why, the first two songs on the album, cuts 1 and 2. Why? And that was a huge hit. You know, that song was almost 5 minutes long. It was a pretty long song for being a top of the pop charts type song. And then the other big song off of that was slightly less, but still pretty long. 4 minutes, 12 seconds. I think they did release a 3.5 minute version, though. That was a little bit different version. Broken Glass. Walking on, walking on broken glass. Dun, 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 dun. And then there was Precious, a pretty cool song. Cold, Money Can't Buy It. Little Bird was the third single, but that's cut number 7. That is also a very long song, almost 5 minutes as well. Mama, what else can I do? Mama. But they did shorten that down to like a 3.5 minute redid, revised, remixed version of that song, Little Bird. I remember what she did on Saturday Night Live was Legend in My Living Room.
Yeah.
And Precious. Precious little angel, won't you? Okay, I think I've heard Precious on the radio, but not like contemporary radio. Is more of like a college radio type thing. But there you go, bottom of the charts. Great way to end this show, because sometimes the cream doesn't rise to the top. Sometimes it's all just that the scum that's at the top, and the good stuff is at the bottom somewhere. You got to find it like a diamond in the rough. Ooh, Sean Colvin, great song. Okay, that's the end of the show. Next show, it'll be the wonderful Benita, the disgruntled fiddle player, and the brewmaster. If you would like to call in about anything we covered today, maybe clarify something that you heard that you're like, wait, no, Mike, I've got to call him and tell him, here's the
call
number.
Call Mike at the Cafe Anyway hotline. Area code 510-228-4640.
Oh,
your shut-ups. Liberty Nation Freedom Foam for All.
This is where you stand. And I love Annie Lennox, and I'm going to stand by what I say. Take it away, Mike.
Thank you. Yes, let's hear it for Annie. All right, with all things having to do with Mike's Daily Podcast, we go to the mainframe and hear from A-Frame. Thank you so much for listening to Mike's Daily Podcast.
Mike's Daily Podcast is written and produced and performed by Mike Matthews. His podcast is super easy to find. Download or listen to his show and read his blog at mikesdailypodcast.com.
Email Mike now at
mikesdailypodcast@gmail.com.
See you tomorrow. Bye.